Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
On DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM.
Man City Super Club
on Talk Sport.
What is a super club? It's not an easy definition, but what we do know is that these clubs win more games, attract more supporters, and make more money than other clubs. Super clubs have not always been super. From Real Madrid to Bayern Munich, all the super clubs started out with small, locally accessible stadiums where they met, trained, played, and did everything else. Over time, however, the stadiums grew in size, improved infrastructures, allowed greater accessibility beyond the local community, and for expansion into spaces separated for match, training, development and business activities. Just like Apple, Google, Facebook, their emergence is often much like these successful multinational companies, rapid and explosive. And there is no doubt that this modern version of Manchester City has all the hallmarks of a football superclub.
Yaya Touré's goal has won the FA Cup for Manchester City. Everyone in a Manchester City shirt on the pitch embraces one another. The blue moon has risen at Wembley today. The Barclays Premier League trophy is given to the Belgian international. The captain of Manchester City thrusts it high into the blue sky. Manchester City are the Premier League champions 2011-2012. And Vincent Kompany hoist the Capital One Cup into the air. The anti-post favourite, Manchester City, are the Barclays Premier League winners again. Touré hits it right footed past it. It's Manchester City's cup. Balotelli, Aguero. I swear you'll never see anything like this ever again.
Founded in 1894, Manchester City history is long, but is without a doubt entering its golden period. Forbes magazine estimated they were the world's sixth most valuable football club. On the pitch, they have won two Premier League titles, an FA Cup and two League Cups. This city is truly part of an elite club. There are affiliate teams across the globe. The women's team is the emerging force. The elite development squad is looked upon with envy by many. Even the neighbours are concerned. As fans, as journalists, we are used to looking in from the outside. But for this programme, with the help of Pablo Zabaleta, Manchester City defender, a first-team veteran of 9 years, Nick Cushing, manager of the Manchester City women's team, and Simon Davies, manager of the elite development squad, we will get a unique view of life from the inside of Manchester City, a modern superclub.
First of all, let's explain where we are. This is the press conference area, room. Pablo Zabaleta is actually sitting in Pep Guardiola's seat. You okay with that?
Yeah, I'm just looking like Pep on the press conference now, just thinking.
Empty seats,
2020,
though.
Yeah, that is, that's good, but I can't imagine how tough it will be for the manager, you know, to be a manager, being in front of so many journalist sometimes, you know, in a good moment always everything is okay, but in a bad moment sometimes you need to know the right answer all the time.
We can ask the coaches here if they always have the right answer. First on your left-hand side is Nick. Nick, have you ever sat in here in this press conference?
I've done two press conferences. In the Champions League, in the Women's Champions League, you have to do pre- and post-match, just like you would in the Men's Champions League. So it's not normally full, but it's the same protocol and the same process.
Simon, you've done a lot of that? A lot of press conferences?
Not so much in this type of room, but my first job before I came to Manchester City, I was... In a club, actually Chester, doing in League Two, and I was a young manager. It was more because the club were embargoed, only had 12 professionals, and I was the youth coach, a young youth coach. So I got a lot of that experience at a very young age.
Behind you, Simon, is the Academy Stadium, which must be the most impressive Academy Stadium in the UK, perhaps. Have you all played there or coached there? Have you played in this one?
No, we did only, I think, a few training sessions when they were opened for the fans to come and enjoy some training session. But I never played an official game here. So, as you say, it's a fantastic. You know, all the facilities here is just unbelievable. And you know, you feel proud to be a City player.
In fact, we left behind, once we crossed that door that got us into this room, a lovely side of pitches, of all kinds of pitches. There's lots of them, lots of grass. And what do you feel, the three of you, when you walk through the gates into the training pitch? Are you saying, what a great place to go to work? Or are you saying, how lucky I am? Or what are you feeling when you go through those gates, Pablo?
Well, I think if we go back to the days where we were in Carrington, of course it was completely different than CFA today, what it is. And I think when you walk through to the door, and of course you just think how lucky you are, because not many players, you know, got the chance to train and enjoy these facilities. But at the same time, I think you have to be humble and think what you're doing here, why you are here. You know, it's not all about, you know, that mentality too much too soon. Of course, for Manchester City step, I remember Khaldun when he first came to Manchester and say, we're going to build not only a good team, also a big club. And 9 years after this, we can see how far we went from that period. So... As a City player, you, as I say before, you have to feel proud, you have to enjoy these facilities, but you have to keep working, you have to keep a place in here if you want to keep using those, I don't know, canteen, you know, training pitches, spa, everything we've got here. We cannot ask for more. It's just fantastic. But, you know, that humility that you need as a player also to understand that you are lucky to be here, it means that you have to keep working hard to be a City player. Apart from how good you can be as a player, it's also you know, be a good professional, good behavior, be humble and good professional to be here as long as you can,
which is, I guess, part of the philosophy as well. All that is part of the same thing that we will be talking about. But Nick, what do you feel when you cross those gates?
I'm conscious that when you work here and you work here every day and you come here because you spend, as a coach, you spend a lot of hours here on the training pitch and off the training pitch when you're planning, you spend more time here than you do with your family. And I'm always conscious, and I say this to my staff, I'm conscious that it can become normal and you can get used to it and you can get comfortable. And actually, we're very, very lucky that we have the opportunity, one, to work on this facility, but two, also attract the best players, because the best players with the characters that we want, they understand that the opportunity to become the best you can be is here, because the facilities, it's not about me, the coach. It's about having the facilities and every opportunity to be better every day and to play in a winning team. So, you know, I say every time I recruit players that one of two things will happen when you come here. If you have the right character, then you will become better because the opportunity and the resource is here. But if you have the wrong character, very, very quickly it will be highlighted, because you will get comfortable really quickly. You will start to enjoy the luxuries and your ability and your performances will dip really, really, really quickly, because, like we say, you know, when you become comfortable, you take your foot off the gas. So, yeah, I love working here and I love dictating that to the players every day and saying to them, you know, if you want to become better, use the resource, use the opportunity and use the facility. But if you want to highlight that you have the wrong character, you will stick out like a sore thumb here.
Simon, when you drive into those gates, are you going home or are you going to work?
going to work every day. I think it's important that, because the guys here, and rightly so, have said a lot of good things about the place, but also we have to avoid people getting complacent. And that's a young players. This is the danger. I mean, the first team players are there for a reason, because they're the world's best. That's why they're here. And they deserve everything we have. But the players, that we have to make sure that the challenges remain for them, for the younger ones, because there's a long way to go. They see this, and it's fantastic. Every day you kind of pinch yourself and realise how lucky you are. And that's important for the staff as well, to realise that. But I think for all of us, we have to keep pushing the players and making sure that this, because maybe one or two will get through to the first team. And when others leave, then which is just the way it works. When they leave, they're not going to have this. So we have a kind of duty of care to them, to kind of keep pushing them, keep finding the right challenges for them, because whether they make it here or somewhere else, we have the duty to make them into good professionals.
I remember hearing you in Belfast in that coaching course, and you were talking about having to give the players 2021 or 18, 16, mm-hmm. those players a lot of making it easy for them to so they feel comfortable, but at the same time pushing them. So yes. You were talking even picking them up by taxi, mm-hmm. and of course, Pablo, you mentioned there is pass here and there is all that. Mm-hmm. How do you stop them being complacent? How do you stop reminding them that your performance pulled deep? I think
it's the players' responsibility and also mine and the staff's responsibility. It's how we train every day. It's where, you know, if our players are late, they don't train. They train on their own in the afternoon, and they're inconvenience. It's all the little things, because they have all this, and they deserve this, because they're the best players around, and that's why they're here. And we have our recruitment team that, you know, are doing ever so well to recruit the best players. But then there's work to be done, and a lot of that, and the standards need to be right, because you know Zaba and all the first team lads, they have all that. They don't just have talent. It's not just that. Talent will never be enough, and we have to make sure that we have to keep pushing them to realise what it takes to be at the very top.
Sometimes you feel like clubs like these are trapped into having to do that, because if you don't do it, the guys next door will do it and they will take those players. But at the same time, these kind of facilities and this easy life, in a way, that you want the players to have, works against you, because it makes them sleep. So it's a bit of a trap.
On DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM.
And it's a goal!
Man City Super Club on Talk Sport.
Welcome back to Manchester City Inside the Super Club with me, Guillem Balaguer. The club has only recently started to emerge as a super club. One element of the club's metamorphosis has involved creating links across the globe to ensure it can access skilled players. But here in Manchester, the club is carefully building the foundations that has a big emphasis on local. 75% of the academy players come from the greater Manchester area.
2 minutes of stoppage time remain. It's 1-1. City pushing forward. It's Jesus! And the second attempt, he scored! Manchester City! Surely.
Simon, is it fair to say that you've got the hardest job out of all the coaches in the academy, because you've got a bunch of players that are about to make it, that perhaps are desperate to make it, but they haven't had this kind of path in life if they've been living in academies or developing in academies? Do you see that, a lot of players that miss that kind of edge or not?
Yeah, I see the players that, maybe at times they get rewarded, and it's just part of the way it is in modern day football. It can be frustrating even for me as the coach, when I just want to see the stories that the guys have told. It's all about the personality. It's all about the person, and we'll come. You know, I hear stories about, lads with really good parenting, and you get, you know, the mums, dads are together. They want the best for the son, and sometimes that, yeah, there's no kind of story that tells all, in terms of like that fits all. That you'll get some lads from that kind of background that really want it, and some that don't, not enough. And equally, you'll hear the real tough stories, and you think, well, that's why he's got the drive. But also then there's others who think, well, life's given me nothing and I'm not going to give it anything back. So there's no kind of true answer that fits them all. And this is where, you know, I've listened to a lot and many more stories like this, but it'll come down to the person, mm-hmm. and the environment.
Do you see them having the passion that they're supposed to have, the passion that perhaps they had as kids? I mean, it comes to my mind, I know one Premier League manager that most of the talks that he's done in the last 2 years is about having passion. Where is your passion? Bring it to here. It's not about tactics. It's not about, trying to set up the team. It's about where is your passion? It's still there. Essentially, the players that get to you have got that, or you have to relieve it somehow?
No, to be quite honest, I don't think that's the case. I think there's some that get to a certain age. It might be 14, 16, 18, 21, and it gets tough. And they've been the best player at 14, and suddenly they struggle at 16, or still the best at 16, 18, and then suddenly they're starting to play against the men a little bit more, and now they're struggling, and they don't want to fight enough, or they don't show that character. And of course, my job is you've got to be patient with that, but you don't let them off the hook. You know, there's no way out. You either want to fight when it gets tough, or you don't. And we have kind of both of that, really, and I think most clubs do. And it's just realising the ones with, they've all got to have the talent, of course, but then are they going to have the fight and the endeavour, and can they problem solve? Have they got the coachability? Because especially, you know, we've got the world's best manager, and he's asking different things most weeks, and maybe during the game it'll change. So are they going to listen? Are they going to play for the team? Are they going to fight for each other? So all those things that, if you want to stay at this club, you know, at top clubs, you're going to need to have. And I mean, we had one just the other week. The first team played Bournemouth, and they came back the next night, and there was a practice game. The manager asked for a practice game with ourselves, and the first team to a man, every one of those who were playing against the kids, if you like, their attitude was fantastic. And I asked the players afterwards, you know, when we got back to the academy side of the building, and I said, just think what these boys are feeling, you know, the first team guys. Some of them were on the bench. Maybe they've got their own emotions. Why didn't I play last night? Or some were even in the stand and travelled all the way to Bournemouth, and yet came back, played against the younger players, and still their attitude was fantastic. And I said, that's why they're the best. That's why they're at the top of the game. And that had nothing to do with on the day. And I've not mentioned a result of the game, or a tactical, or a technical. That just attitude alone is, for me, why those guys are at the top.
Paolo, you feel that's part of the job? Because, by the way, you've been a dad of players since you were 20. So in that World Cup you mentioned, you were already the dad of Kun Agüero and Leo Messi, and everybody looked at you. You were the captain, and everybody looked at you as a reference. So, in a way, you mature very early on, perhaps down to your experience. But now at City, you feel that's part of your job as well?
Yeah, I think the old players that we are in the squad now, in some part, we got that responsibility also to look after the young player and make sure that when they come to train with the first team, they need to be aware, like Simon say, you know, the right attitude to show to the manager they are ready to come and train with the first team. Of course, it's not easy because we are a big squad. We have two big players in each position. I know that. But that is not an excuse for those opportunities when we play against them 11v11 or some of the training session like today. The 6-7 players of them came to train with the first team to show that attitude, to show that passion that we are a City player from the EDS, but we are working hard to, as soon as possible, be here with the first team. So, in one way, if we are a little bit asleep and they don't run too much or they don't show the right attitude, we have to be there behind them, not to shout to, you know, because sometimes I was, you know, also young when I was training with the first team in San Lorenzo. Sometimes when some of the old guys, they were shouting to me like, come on, do this, do that. For me, it was really good. I'm worried when nobody say anything to me, you know. So that's why I think we need to talk to them in the right way. We need to shout to them, because they're not running enough, or they're not working hard enough without the ball.
What do you tell him? Do you tell him in that when he's training with you, or you tell him after, or you sit him down?
I like to talk to them, you know, if after training I saw something that probably didn't like from the game or in the training session, I want to find the right moment to say something to the lad, because, as I say, the manager is there, maybe Simon is there to talk to them. Maybe I'm not the right person to say something, because maybe he's doing something that he's been told by the manager, or I don't know. But what I cannot... I need to tell when I see them, they are not working hard enough. Mm-hmm. For me, I don't negotiate that. You know, they can miss one pass. They can, because we all, at the end of the day, we all do mistakes. You know, that is part of the job, and in football it's like this. But to have the right attitude, to work hard, it is something that you cannot allow, especially the young players at the age of 17, 18. They cannot be tired, they can run up and down during 90 minutes, that is for sure, but always in the right moment and in the right way. I think they should appreciate when somebody comes to them and somebody for the first time and say something, because that is all you need as well.
And that is the club, isn't it? It's not the facilities, it's not the titles, it's not how much people earn, it's not the cars in the car park. That is the club, isn't it, Simon, Nick?
Yeah, I think the club shows in what they do. I mean, in my particular role, what the football club does for the women's game, and the women's team are fully integrated within the academy with the EDS and all the academy players. But you know, we were good enough to be successful last year, but the first thing that the first team did is they invited us. We were on the training pitch. The manager came over, all the players came over and congratulated us. And you know, you look at their Twitter accounts, and this football club is unique in the way that it integrates men and women across Melbourne and New York, and the young players. Not only, you know, I say in my interviews, you know, we get a lot of flack at this football club. Sometimes I think people perceive we're a bank, we're not a football club, and we're not. On the inside, I've been here, you know, 10 years now, and I've done nearly every job, from the women's team to running the under fives at the academy. And you know, this club's been very good to me as a coach in improving my knowledge of the game and giving me opportunity. And in turn, we all work very hard. I said before, didn't I? You know, I spend more time here than I do with my family, and I've got three children and a wife. So, yeah, this is a unique football club, and it's got good people, and it treats people well.
So, okay, we're getting a picture of what the club is about. Can you, starting with Simon, give us, in a sentence, what's Manchester City?
An honest, hard-working club that's going in the right direction.
Nick? You're going next, Pablo. I can see you thinking.
You give him more time.
I thought a question like this would... I thought you would ask me a question like this, and I think, for me, this football club, it's an idea of excellence that it almost wants to show in every way. And I think that's as simple as I can put it. And if you walk through and you see all the different badges and you see the men and the women and the kids, it has an idea of excellence, and it wants to show that, actually, we'll show it in every way. We'll prove to you that our idea works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing. I think we all working so hard for these badges, and of course we cannot forget where we come from. To build that mentality and that club, it's not been easy, but it's not enough. We want more. But what I see as a football player from the first team is everyone is involved and working hard to make sure that we are a better club and of course better team in EDS, women's and first team.
Pablo Zabaleta, Manchester City defender and a first team veteran of 9 years, Nick Cushing, manager of the Manchester City women's team, and Simon Davies, manager of the elite development squad, have joined me for a chat in Pep's press conference room at the Etihad campus to talk through all the incredible developments and changes a club of this size has gone through to become a giant of the world game. Coming up, what is the secret to success at a club like Manchester City? Pablo Zabaleta reveals what he believes to be the key ingredients.
On DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM.
And it's a goal!
Man City Super Club on Talk Sport.
Manchester City's recent emergence into a super club has attracted a lot of attention. There is, of course, nothing new about the importance of buying star names and building a first team of world-class players in all positions.
Really, the roof of Eastlands has been lifted off. You wouldn't believe this. It had to be Rubinho, didn't it?
Further wide towards Tevez. Right foot shot! Magnificent from Carlos Tevez! Sergio Aguero! What a finish! Cool as you like!
Was it back towards Balotelli? Right footed shot! And Mario Balotelli scores!
Yaya Toure with a drive through away from Mikel. Brilliant curler! Brilliant goal from Yaya Toure! And the deadlock is broken!
Gets onto his right foot, shoots towards the far corner. Oh, Sterling's rising all right.
Five faster men in the wall as De Bruyne hits it right foot in.
That is sublime from Kevin De Bruyne.
The blue moon is no longer rising. It's dominating the Premier League skyline.
But City have now gone beyond that initial burst of investment and put together a project with very solid foundations.
We're going to get into Pep Guardiola, in which seat you are sitting in. But before that, how did he get to there? As in, how did you see the process of Manchester City becoming a winning club? How did you create, if you can pick two or three things, how did you create that winning mentality?
Well, of course that you need big players. Since 2008, where the new owners came into the club and they started to spend big money to bring in top players, of course that is the first thing that you need to have success, you know, to win games.
What then does big players do when they come in? Is it the way they train? Is it what they say? Is it how they behave? Is it their standards?
Well, don't forget those players who came at that time, they were coming from big clubs like, you know, Arsenal, Adebayo, Colo Torre, Carlos Tevez, Gareth Barry, Nigel de Jong, Jay Given. Of course, Craig Bellamy, they've been working for big clubs and they brought that mentality that you need.
Is it the way they walk into the pitch or they train or they're the first ones to get into the call bats?
I think especially, you know, in training where in the way that you prepare the game for the weekend, you know, when you play for a team that don't have that mentality, you can see in training that everyone is not working hard enough or that we are not preparing the game in the way we want to compete on the weekend. You play the game as you've been training this week, you know. And when you have important players that they've been playing for big clubs, they won, you know, big trophies, they brought that mentality into the team. And then Silva, you know, Yaya Toure, I think we created that a fantastic team where, of course, we started to win important trophies. And then it's just the pressure is bigger and bigger, because you know that you have a team to win something. Of course, then Carrington, the training ground being improved, you know, a new gym, you start to see that this club is having another dimension, and that's why the players, we got that responsibility to create that winning mentality. Working hard during the week, having a good behavior, you know, being disciplined. And then, of course, going into the game to play and win. Whenever you play, then Champions League, we remember how tough it was for us to the first few years in the Champions League, because probably mentally we were not well prepared to compete with the best teams. So, of course, always takes time to have that mentality to play in the same way or with the same attitude during the week against Barcelona and Camp Nou, or going in to play an FA Cup with a championship team in England. So over the last 9 years since I've been here, that was incredible how everything changed. And of course, for everyone, it was a big challenge to keep a place, in the squad, because we knew that the money was there to bring top players, and one of the survivors from that era.
You passed all the filters and all the tests, because the ones that don't, they just fall off the edge, basically. That's what happens. Yeah. And you're talking about mentality, you're talking about behaviour, and a lot of football fans think that it's all about changing players. You buy this one, you get rid of that one, you change the manager. But unless you build a solid foundation like the one you're talking about, you are a yo-yo club. You go up, you go down. And I think there's another confusion about Manchester City, which is that now that Pep Guardiola has arrived, the team and any other team in the club are playing in a certain way. Actually, Pep Guardiola is the consequence of a decision of what philosophy this club had to take, isn't it, Simon?
Yeah, I think obviously he's with his qualities and the staff he has, they're going to add to that and take it on some more steps, I'm sure. But it's something that the club has been working on for some time now, and trying to have an identity to work from a clear way of playing throughout the academy, which again lends itself to players being coachable as well, because there's lots of detail within the way we play. And they've got to take that on board, along with all the other qualities that Zaba spoke about, in terms of, every step they go, there's another challenge. And even when they get, we talk about, joking, but, Zaba surviving all these hurdles, even when they get to the first team, you're not done. There's more work to do, and the challenges are even greater. So this is about, yes, a way of playing, a philosophy of way of playing, but it isn't just about what other people perceive as pretty football. You have to be brave the way you play, make good decisions, and fight for one another, because people may think that they press us tough and that's enough. But no, we'll find another answer, and that's our challenge as a football club. And that happens obviously at the first team, because that's the team that matters most. But it happens all the way through, and it's challenging for all the staff at the football club and the players.
The fascinating thing is that this philosophy wasn't born in Manchester. This philosophy is a mixture of ideals. It comes from Barcelona, it comes from Holland. And they were brought up with those players, those coaches that started using that philosophy, were brought up with that idea and developed it. Mm-hmm. So you've been... That philosophy is kind of imposed here, because people at the club at the top feel that that's the best way of winning, and entertaining, I suppose, is both things. Mm-hmm. But what was the transition for you, for instance, Simon, in terms of where you come from and the kind of football that you practiced and coached, to having to believe in this and die for this now?
Well, to be quite honest, as a coach, as a footballer, I play for many different teams, and you learn good and bad habits off good and bad coaches. So you're learning all the time. In terms of coaching, when I had a free rein in, the only role I had before I came to this club is I was very fortunate in a way because I believed in a 4-3-3, which is majority of the time that is what the academy is sticking to, you know. So it was a formation that I liked because it had an attacking feel to it and a flowing way. So when I first came in, it was, you know, came in and you're lucky enough to come in the place. But it was more then after that, I felt very fortunate because it was playing to my style, although I wasn't coaching to that detail at the time. And I had to learn that. But it was, I think it's got to be a fit. I think whether it be the players, the staff, everyone's got to believe in the way they work. If not, you get found out eventually. So everything you do has got to be with detail and you have a passion for it. We're asking the players to have a passion. There's a lot of staff at the academy, and I'm not just talking about the coaches, but the physios and analysts, and we have the human science department now looking at the passion side of it and things like that, and the coachability. And everyone has a drive because this is I'm going back to the building slightly, but it's a great place to work, and everyone's desperate to work here, and we love it here, and we're going to work hard to make sure we all stay here.
Wrong in saying that. I believe that in all the changing rooms there is pictures of how the first team play or your team plays, the under-21s or under-16s, mixed with the first team, almost like in a constant. It's constantly on, so you all keep watching what you have to aim for. Is that you still got it, or you got it in the girls team?
Yeah, there are screens everywhere, and we have a huge performance analysis department here that are constantly looking at all of our games, whether it's the younger boys, whether it's the women's first team or the men's first team. And I think the interesting thing is that our methodology here and our philosophy is almost like the end game. And what I mean by that is when you look at our teams play, we have certain characteristics to all of our teams that fit the same way of playing. The interesting thing for me and being where I've came from is in this is the only football club I've ever worked at. My whole understanding of football and coaching has been built here over the last 10 years from the managers we've had, from the coaches I've worked with. I worked under Simon when he was the lead 12 to 16s coach here. But one thing I've learned is every coach is different. And coaching for me is all about creativity. And yeah, there is an analytical and a scientific side to the football, but our first team manager Pep Guardiola is the best example that actually ideas and creativity around that real core way that you see playing is the only way that you evolve a team and you improve players. And I watched Simon's team play last week and he played three at the back, and I naturally play four at the back, but I watched his team play and I seen the way that he played three at the back, and I see some of those ideas and think we had some of those problems, just simple things of getting, you know, defenders stepping in to go and join midfield and look at areas. And that's something that I will take away and maybe have a conversation with him. And especially in the academy alone, we discuss a lot and we all talk about ideas. But if you look at our teams, and like you say, going back to the question, if you look on the screens, all of our teams dominate the ball. All of our teams are technical. We want technical players, and we want fans to come in and enjoy the way that we play and create chances and score lots of goals.
Fernandes tried to stop Silva getting inside the penalty area. He failed. Sterling, it's put in! It's Jesus! 1-0 Manchester City with a goal that has been coming since the first whistle of the game. They've had constant possession, constant pressure inside that Swansea penalty area.
On DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM.
And it's a goal!
Man City Super Club on Talk Sport.
Welcome back to Manchester City Inside the Super Club. Pablo Zabaleta, Manchester City defender and a first team veteran of 9 years, Nick Cushing, manager of the Manchester City women's team, and Simon Davies, manager of the elite development squad, have joined me for a chat in Pep's press conference room at the Etihad campus to talk through all the incredible developments and changes a club of this size has gone through to become a giant of the world game.
We walked out of the media zone and we turned towards our left, and it's all gated, of course, but we went through it, and what you see is green, a lot of green.
On the left-hand side, there is one of the pitches that the academy uses. In front of us is a huge building with a round shape which hosts everything that has to do with the academy. More pitches on the right. There's players in 5 of the pitches that I can see from here. There's, in fact, 16.5 pitches at the training ground. 12.5 of them is for the academy's use. And there is a wall right at the back of this semicircular building, and that's the wall that separates the hopefuls and the first team. And that's the wall that all these kids will have to break if they actually want to become elite players at this extraordinary super club.
De Bruyne twists and turns one way, shoots. It's off the post. Iheanacho can tap it in, and the flag stays down. And City have a 2-goal lead. Manchester United 0, Manchester City 2. And Iheanacho in the right place to just tap into an empty goal, more or less.
Have you had the chance to talk to Pep Guardiola about all of this? Is he still with the up and downs of the first team? Is he still focused on the first team, or does he share time with you?
Between Cheeky, I spent a lot of time with Cheeky, and Pep, not as much, but still, when we can, obviously he's a very busy man, and the first team games come thick and fast, especially right now as we speak. But yeah, we'll talk about the way we play, but he's very keen on how the young players are doing well as well. So it's he knows that it's a big job that he has. He has one eye on the lads coming through as well. Obviously, that's linked with Cheeky and some of his staff like Rodolfo and Brian Kidd and all these other people around. So there's a focus on that. Obviously, the main job has got to be the first team. The reason he was brought in was obviously to do that. But along with Cheeky and the staff, we've got one eye on the lads who come up. We have four or five lads who trained the first half of the season with the first team. And then a couple have gone on loan now for their next challenge, and again that'll be ongoing. But it's the philosophy they know is in place, but to be improved all the time because you can never stand still. But also he's really keen on the young players and what's coming through the system.
Chico Begiristan, being the director of football, who of course was brought here with the idea of transmitting what he had learned at Barcelona, and Rodo Borrell, who was the academy director at Liverpool, but before had 16 years at Barcelona, and is the link, I guess, between the academy and the first team, because he's now part of the first team staff. I think the trainings of the first team are close to almost to everybody, because they feel that they shouldn't let too much in out there into the world. But how do you get to share that knowledge? Is there videos that you can have a look? You can have a look at the training in video later on?
If we're not, the manager and his staff are always very welcoming. So and because of the games are on different times, our games are different times, so there'll be days where we're on a rest recovery day and we're always welcome to go and watch the training and discuss. It's always that. When I say you've said about it's close to many people, everyone would be there if the door was open, I'm sure, because his work is the best. So, it's going to be the way. But in terms of some of our staff going to watch and share ideas, then that's always open.
So you bring some 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds and 20-year-olds from your team as well to the first team training sometimes. And he loves the dedicating time to correcting perhaps how the players receive the ball or how they play it or their movements. And because it's his passion, isn't it? His passion to actually develop players is his passion. So for somebody who's been at the elite for a long while, what does Pep Guardiola has added to your game, Pablo?
Well, I think his passion to try always to improve or to try to find the right way to attack to the opponent. We watch a lot of videos where sometimes I know it's a bit boring for some of the players being watching videos every day, but for the player who really love football and they enjoy watching, I'm talking about 20 minutes video, 25 minutes. I'm not saying an hour or 2 hours. He's always trying to improve the players, to improve the team. He likes, to play out from the back and always to have two, three options with the player who got the balls, always to give solutions and gives you information about the opponent. And in the way he prepares always the game is just fantastic. And of course, as a player, you see a lot of things that probably you never seen before. This is one of the main things.
Like what?
Who is the man free? He's just, we work a lot of on positional games where he always trying to have an extra man in different areas of the pitch where we can have the control of the ball or the control of the game. And that's why when you have the ball, you know who is on the right side, who is inside. You've got an option to play with a centre back, or the centre back we play to the goalkeeper and we go to another side. Who is the player free to read those situations? But of course, when you have a manager who for him always the small details makes that difference. He always trying to control the ball with the left to pass with the right, always he always is there to try to get the best from the players, and this is why I like the most.
In fact, in your case, see if I'm right on this, he couldn't teach you anything as a right back, because you've done all your life in different teams with different levels, but of course you had to play in the midfield, and perhaps in the first time for quite a number of games. So did he actually have to teach you, or did he give you little tips on how to receive the ball, how to position yourself, and which place to receive the ball? So he's actually giving you like new lessons into your profession.
That's what I'm saying. When we do like ball possessions, and sometimes we don't have a good control of the ball and we make a bad pass, sometimes it seems that, okay, a bad pass and some of... the managers or people around the staff say unlucky. Sometimes if you miss three or four passes in the same way, it's not unlucky, it's because your body shape is not good, because it's better to, if the ball comes from the right side, it's better to control to the left and pass with the right, or maybe, I don't know, to move away from the opponent to have more space, or to play 1-2 in a very short, and then play long ball, third man, I don't know. Those tips that probably we have seen in Barcelona, we all been enjoying watching Barcelona for a long time, but now is something that you go Guardiola here with you, and that's why you have to enjoy it. And I'm sure everyone is learning a lot from him, and this is good, to have the opportunity to have one of the best coaches. Is we are very lucky.
There are things that are happening at Manchester City which seem logical. All the coaches talking to each other, and the first team helping the youth, and all having a philosophy and a direction. But it doesn't work like that in every club, does it? Do you feel that you are at the vanguard, at the forefront of something new, something different?
Yeah, I mean, I've only worked here, so I can only speak about this club, but there is no football club in the world that does what it does for its women's team. I have an easier job than most championship managers. I say that a lot. I have resource, I have backing, I have experience. I can go and spend 1 hour with Cheeky Bergeristein and ask him about why did the Barcelona teams of 5-6 years ago do this? Why did your team of 1992 at Barcelona do this? And get a tactics board out, and he can. It's unheard of in the women's game. And through working through the academy and watching what Mark Allen does and what Simon does with the EDS down, in my opinion, no, there is no football club that works with the resource and the backing and the almost integration that this football club does.
Let me ask finally, when you hear what the club is made of, the things that you do to improve it, and the things that have been done as well, is it frustrating, Simon, Nick, is it frustrating to hear that what Pep Guardiola will do will be seen as a success only depending on the titles,
Or is it just a measure of how elite football is? Does he have to be measured by what he does or by the titles?
I think from maybe outside, people will put the pressure on it, when you do any first team of a club of this size. Then, of course, you know there's pressure on winning. But for me and the way I see the way he works, the way his staff works, and the message that we get and throughout the academy, every day, every week, every month that we're working, we're all improving. So for me, you know, I look at it slightly differently. I'm sure the people at the football club and the business end will want to win things, of course, and we all want to win things at this football club. But I feel quite privileged to be in this working environment and knowing that yes, my job is to improve the young players, but also I get great satisfaction to know that I'm improving because of the people around me. So I'm just enjoying every day. So, you know, long may that continue.
A superclub starts being built with the small details, like players of any age shaking hands every morning to every person in the building. You also need to have the right people with the right attitude, and then you're on your way. It takes time to reach the top, but Manchester City are rushing to get there. Having heard from some of the people that give City their personality, the impression is that the foundations are solid. They have to be, or you will get found out. So it clearly seems Manchester City is a super club that will stay being such for a long while. Thanks for listening. Hasta luego.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.